Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Christopher Terrence Jones. Welcome to another episode of the Christopher Terrence Jones Show. You guys know what to do right now. Share the podcast. Don't keep it to yourself. I promise you, once you join me on this journey, you will be hooked like everybody else. Thank you to my seasoned followers. Thank you to my new followers. You guys are amazing. And I appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you for listening. But you know what? Make sure you go over, if you're on Apple, and rate me a 5. Give me a 5. You know, that's the way we build the following. That's the way we build community. You got to put them old crazy numbers on there, y'all know. I'm only saying it because that's what they tell me to do. So, and if it wasn't for that, y'all know I wouldn't even be doing that. So, let's also start by saying Happy Pride Month. It is Pride. So to all of my LGBTQ plus IA and all of those stuff that I'm still trying to figure out what they are, Happy Pride Month. This is a time that you really should be celebrating and remembering the people who opened the doors and paved the way to get to where we are to this day. There are so many who came along the way and opened the door. They kicked down those walls. They fought when it was the wrong time, according to other people. But everybody basically is just trying to live their life and be who they are and have the best life that works for them, not what works for everybody else, because being who you are is all about what makes you comfortable, not what makes your parents, your friends, your family, anybody else. Your goal in life is to be your best you. And that's all I can tell you to do is be your best you. Promote love and acceptance and stop hating folks because of who they love. Because who they love has nothing to do with you. So, happy Pride Month. And I found this story and I had to go research it a little bit more, and I'm telling you, you gotta know your history and you gotta look stuff up and you gotta read sometime, people. Reading really is fundamental. So sometimes you gotta read. And I saw a post on Facebook and I went over to check it out because, you know, I love always getting the facts. And it was about Lucy Hicks Anderson. And I was like, okay, this is an interesting story. Let me read. And as I was reading, I found out that she was a socialite and she was a chef. And she was best known for her time in Oxnard, California. So she was from Kentucky. And she had two husbands. And as I was reading the story, I said, oh, this is interesting. Okay, what's the catch of this story? Well, here's the catch of the story. She was assigned male at birth. So that means Lucy Hicks Anderson was a male. But get this. Born in 1866. That's what made the story so interesting to me. 1866. Do you know how long ago that was? There was no such thing as transgender. There was nothing that we knew where men dressed as women. I mean, we saw, you know, in the royalty days where the the prime, whatever they were called. They wore wigs and they wore high heels, which most people forget that high heels were really made for men. But that's another story. So, Lucy Hicks Anderson, born in 1886, was a socialite and spent most of her time in Oxnard, California from 1920 to 1946. She was assigned male at birth, but was adamant from an early age that she was a girl. And with her supportive parents, doctors reaffirmed her as living as one. So she got older. She established a boarding house in Oxnard where she became a popular hostess. In 1954, a year after she married her second, y'all heard me, her second husband, she was arrested and tried and convicted of perjury, as the government said she lied about her sex on her marriage license. Well, she went to prison. And so after prison, she and her husband moved from Oxnard into Los Angeles. But this is it. She was adamant that she was not a male. This was in the 1800s, people. So they always make this thing that says there's nothing new under the sun and most stuff will come around again. Well, look what happened. Years, over 100 years again, it started to happen again. And I saw one picture, but I wish I could have seen some more pictures of Lucy. So, other thing is, she ran a brothel. Ain't that something? So, she was a skilled chef. She had won baking contest, and she ran a brothel. Also, she sold illegal liquor, which, you know, you couldn't do that at the time. But she was well known for her parties. So when she got caught up with this whole thing and she had to go to jail, and she was found guilty, y'all hear this? She was found guilty. And she went to court. And this is how this played out. When the Ventura County District Attorney learned from his examination that Anderson had been assigned a male at birth, he chose to try her for perjury, arguing that she lied about her sex on her marriage license and impersonated a woman. But during the trial, she stated, "I defy any doctor in the world to prove that I am not a woman. And I have lived, dressed, acted just what I am, a woman." But you know, this is before time. The court went ahead and convicted her of perjury and sentenced her to 10 years of probation. And at that time, marriage was only valid between a man and a woman. And she was not deemed a woman, so the marriage was declared invalid. As a result, the federal government, this gets better, y'all, charged her with fraud for receiving financial allotments for wives of soldiers under the GI Bill. And initially, also with failing to register for the draft until she proved that she had been too old to register. So if you go back, oh my God, this is crazy, y'all. This is crazy. Her first husband is where all of this started from. And it gets crazy. So one night, she was arrested. And her double-barreled reputation paid off because the town's leading banker prominently bailed her out of jail because he had scheduled a huge dinner party, which would have collapsed because Lucy was in jail, so there wouldn't have been no party. So her first husband was named Clarence Hicks, and they were in, it was 1920, and it only lasted 9 years, which during that marriage, she saved up enough money to buy the boarding house, which she turned into a brothel. So she did what she had to do to survive, people. And is that what we're all really trying to just do? And most of us just really want to live our lives. So if you want to know more, all you got to do is Google Lucy Hicks Anderson. She's in, there's a book, and I've been looking for it. I'm going to pick it up myself because I would love to read it. The Handbook of LGBT Elders calls Anderson one of the earliest documented cases of an African-American transgender person. Because like I said, when she began doing this, basically identifying as a female, this was before they even had termed transgender. Nobody knew what transgender was. So she was way ahead of her time. Way, 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 way ahead of her time. So there's your little snippet of a little history of, you know, transgenders. And everybody has their feelings about men dressing up as women and all of this stuff. I always say, if it don't hurt you and it don't do anything to what you're doing, then let the people do their lives. Because I don't care what you sling shot yourself from your chandelier in your house. It ain't got nothing to do with me. So I stay in my lane. And this is not new with transgenders. It's not like it's five people. There's a lot of people who are living their best lives. And all they want to do is live their best lives. But then you got some folks out there who are just like, oh my God. Oh my God. But to each his own. To each his own. And for those of y'all that don't know, read sometime. Do some reading. You can learn some things. I promise you, you will. And if you even go back, there are some Native Americans prior to 1800 that they say lived as lesbians. You just have to do research. But most of this stuff we're reading about because there's very few people who were around then that could tell you the story. And if they were, I mean, they're much, much older. Much, 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 much older. So do some reading for yourself. Learn some stuff during Pride Month. I want to say kudos to the fact that they now have a new flag. That was the other thing that I was so impressed about. There is a new Pride flag. And the reason why it's such a new thing and why it's amazing is because it means we're moving forward. And most of you, when you see Pride, it's always, and it's nothing personal, it's always white people, white people, white people, white man, white man, white man, white man. And you know the dykes on bikes, if you've been to San Francisco Pride, you see that. And there really is no diversity in being same gender loving at these events, because it's all about, you know, everything you see is just white. And it's just the way that it's been. So it's not like I'm trying to state anything different, but that's just the way that it has been. So now they're using a new pride flag. Now, we just come off of one of the most horrific couple of years with so many people of color being killed, especially men. And it just was the perfect time that the pride flag now has brown and black in it. And so there's a number of factors why they've changed this, but so much it has to do with Black Lives Matter. And there are a lot of people of color who are trans. They've been slept on. They've been not basically invited to the party. And that's why it's so much racism, even in the community. There are racist white men. I mean, it's so much. There are racist black people that people, same gender loving, who only date, you know, they got all these issues. I'm only going to date you, but you have to be my color, and I don't date anything outside my race. I mean, you know, that stuff gets crazy. How do you define love? How do you define love when you could be walking down the street and see somebody and there's an attraction? So because they're of a different color, you keep walking and you miss out on a chance, because that may be the person you fall in love with. That may be your soulmate. Who knows? So thank you to the people who decided that it was time to change the pride flag. And it was designed by Daniel. Y'all know I jack names up. I can't say his last name. But like I say, it features black, brown stripes to represent people of color, and baby blue, pink, and white to include the trans flag in the design. So kudos. And the flag previously had been in existence for 42 years. So this is a big step. It's a big step to, you know, add it in. And most pride events now are already flying the new pride flag. So kudos to them. Kudos, kudos, kudos. So, happy pride, this is what I want you guys to do for Pride Month. Get out of your own way. Get out of your own way and stop worrying about what the next person is doing. Let them live their lives. Before you make that stupid comment, so I'm going to tell y'all a story. I guess I should just go ahead since it's right here. So, the timing is so perfect. I guess I'll tell the story. I'll tell what happened to me. So, I've walked in my truth and known who I was since I was 16. I haven't been running around here trying to figure out who I am. I've known who I am. So, you know, that's never been my thing. And I've just lived my truth because I learned out early on who I was. And all I wanted to do was be the best me that I could be. Now, mind you me, that, if y'all remember, my brother had a house inside of my house. So I had other kids that I was raising. So I had to present myself perfect or look perfect so that they can have an idea of what they needed to do to grow up in the right direction. Well, I don't trip off of people calling me names, because at this point in life, I really don't have that happen. You know, I'm also just not there. People don't bother me like that. But the other day at work, there's some crazy stuff going on at work. So just I'll say that. And one of the guys there, I stopped dealing with him because basically of what happened. There was a story, and I'm not going to tell y'all the whole story, but basically what happened was, to get where we're at now, he decided that he wants to blast me because I don't deal with him. And, you know, whatever. I don't have to like you. I don't have to be bothered with you. I don't have to do anything. And once I found your true colors, I stopped dealing with him. So we were standing out there, and there was another altercation going on, and he included my name in the situation, and excuse me for the language, and he's like, ain't nobody studying his bitch ass faggotness and gay bitch ass and all of this, so you started saying that. Now, at first, I wasn't going to say anything. I was just like, whatever, but I decided that I was going to go and report this to our HR department. How do I look in the midst of Pride Month not making sure that somebody gets checked? Because, see, I'm not that scary little one, so you can't do me. I'm not running in the corner and hiding. But there are some people out there who, they can't be me. They can't be vocal. They can't live their true lives because it could be dangerous to them. So I had to put myself in their place and be a person who fights for them, because everybody's not fighting for them, even their family. And like I say, I wasn't going to say anything. I was just going to let it slide out. But it's time out for people making derogatory statements. And if that's the best you can do that you can say about me is to call me a bitch ass gay ass, if I told your story on here, you would be the number one bitch ass. You really would be. You would be the number one, because I know your whole story. Because see, the thing about being on the school bus yard, everybody's business is on there. And that's why I keep my business out. I'm not running around saying if I'm dating Dog, Cat, Larry, Jack, Mo, Shirley, Rebecca, Amy. I don't tell none of that. This is not, because this is a job for me. I'm just here to work and be sociable. That's it, as much as I can. And half time, y'all know I don't even do that. But I just felt like I couldn't let that slide. Because had I called him something else, his little bitch ass would have been running in the office. Or had I went over there and knocked the hell out of him. Because y'all know I'm from the old school days where we used to fight in the clubs all the time. So there's nothing new to me. And I ain't never been scared, never backed down from a fight. And if y'all have listened to the podcast, you know I got suspended at work for fighting already before when I went after somebody on the yard. So, yeah, y'all know how that goes down. But it's really disgusting that so many black men are still saying derogatory stuff about gay men, when there's so many DL men. And I'm going to say this over and over and over and over again. I don't want you because you're straight. Yes, there are some idiots out there who their goal and their mission in life is to be with straight men. That is not my thing. I am not excited about, nor do I want to be going down that damn road. That's not what I want. I'm trying to live my best life and worried about trying to catch somebody who's straight and get them caught up in some mess. I ain't got time for that. So that's why so many straight men act out and blurt out and they worried about some gay man or something. I don't want you. Trust me, I don't want you because you're a bum. So let's start there. So let me tell you where let's go to the bougie part of me. Now I'm going to show y'all the bougie part. Why do I want you when first, I'm higher up in seniority than you. Second, I make more money than you. So what can you do for me? Because you still got to provide for your wife and your kids. What, baby? Let me tell you. My love, what is Jennifer Lopez? Love don't come, something free. Y'all know one of them crazy things. One of them old crazy things. But no, seriously. I just needed to, let me come off topic and go back. I needed to report him to HR. And if it wasn't a knock and a peg to say, this is not right. Because if you call somebody anything else, you call them a nigga, you get called in office. You call them so many things, they call you in office. So stop using gay as a derogatory statement because there's too many gay people in the world. There's too many same gender. And I love to say same gender loving because that's just where you just happen to love the same gender. Just plain and simple. And I jokingly say this all the time. You need to really come with a better one for me because I sleep by myself every night. Ain't nobody in my bed. And hell, right now, I was looking for shoes this weekend. So the other side of my bed is covered with stuff. But they can take my gay card because I'm not actively using it. I'm single. I'm living the single. Yeah, like that. So I just felt that I needed to speak up, and now I could tell that it made a difference because now when he sees me, he goes the opposite way, and he does not, if I'm over there, he's not even coming. So it kind of helped. It kind of helped, and we wouldn't be in this situation sometimes if you just keep your mouth closed. When I don't like somebody, I don't deal with them. And that's the whole thing, is that he's pissed off that I don't deal with him. And then, as the fact that y'all know I'm the union rep, so that also, it makes me know his business because when we're in union meetings, we talk about everything that goes on the yard. And if I told y'all more, like I said, it got ugly where his whole business got exposed on the yard and everybody knew about it. But that's that. So when you think that you're going to make a statement about somebody, think about the people who are around you that are watching or that are listening. And what does this say about your character? What does it say about you as a person? Because every day your focus should just be to be a happy person. Because there's so much other stuff going on in the world. There's so much other stuff going on in the world. I can't say that. Especially when we just come out of. And we're not even completely out of COVID. The world opens back up. Well, not the world. California opens up June 15th. Who's to say we're not going to get another spike? Who's to say that there's not a new thread out there, or a new strand waiting to come out? And they could take out more lives. So many people's lives were lost. And so many people lost loved ones. And what's going to go with them and went to that person's grave is so many negative things that they said. So many comments they made that they shouldn't have made. Because the majority of the time, just keep your negative thoughts to yourself. Stop always giving your opinion on somebody else's life. It is not always needed, desired, or asked for. So sometimes just shut up. That's it. In this month, step out the way, keep your mouth shut, and remember that some young boy, some young girl, in some little small town can't live their lives because of the hatred and people's negative thoughts and views about something that doesn't really have anything to do with them. I wish you peace, joy, and all that good stuff. So, that was that. The other thing I wanted to talk about, I'm at a crossroad. And I said I was going to get better, and I was going to try to start every week again. And I just haven't been in a space where I could do every week again. Because I find myself back dealing with depression again. And I had prayed that I would never go here again. And I don't think I'm as bad as I was before. But I'm there. Security for me is the bed. It's a safe place. I can lay in the bed, pull the cover over my head, and stay in it. And there's so much going on in my life. That's why I don't have time for so many other things. And if y'all know, Naomi Osaka pulled out of the French Open. And mental health issues. She battles with depression. And I understand it and know it very well. So let me tell y'all. I am basically like a functioning depressed person. And I was trying to explain this to some friends yesterday. I can go out, do stuff. And once I leave there, we could have a wonderful time. I'm telling y'all, we could have laughs and all of that. But as soon as I leave and I'm on my way home or I get back home, I go into this place and just get. And it's not that I'm depressed about the event itself. The depression is just a big thing that has taken over. A lot of times I'm sad about where my life hasn't gone in the direction that I wanted to go in. And they always say when a storm is coming at you and you really in the middle of a storm, that's when your breakthrough is about to come. And I'm telling y'all right now, I'm in a storm. And it's a colossal storm. And it's just coming at me, coming at me, coming at me, coming at me. And I'm wondering, how do I even make it out of it? How do I even survive the storm? So I have a piece of paper on my bed right now that will drastically change my life if I turn it in. And it's not even if, because I'm going to turn it in. I'm going to step out of my comfort zone a little bit, and I'm going to turn it in, and I'll tell y'all more about it later as it progresses. But it's going to drastically change my life. It's going to require me to do a couple of things different, but right now, a lot of times, like I say, when I come home, all I want to do is just get into bed. That's all I want to do. And no particular reason. Nothing. It's not like I'm not living a good life. I'm not where I want to be. Trust me. I'm not where I want to be. I see people who started in this thing in the school busing world after me who are doing better than me. I see event planners who started after me who are doing better than me. And singers who just are doing better than me. Actors. I see so many different things. Socialites that are doing better than me. And most of them started after me. And some have taken my skills that I've taught them and they do better than me. So that continues. And let me tell y'all something. Being older is an issue too. Being older weighs on me because there were so many things that I wanted to accomplish and I haven't done it. So I'll tell y'all, I had one that I know I don't see it happening. So I'll tell y'all this one. I had a desire to go back to school and get a degree as a psychologist. Because really I wanted to understand me and understand what was going on inside me. How does Christopher Terrence Jones work? What are the inner workings of Christopher Terrence Jones? And so that was why I was so much in love with psychology and doing that. Well, as time progressed, let me tell y'all how this worked. I started doing plays. I was traveling doing plays. I was traveling being an armor bearer for pastors. And then school busing. I got addicted to field trips, y'all. I got addicted to every day I'm at a different school, picking up, going someplace else. I'm at the museums. I'm seeing all of these exhibits that I would have never seen had I not been pushing the school bus. And I start chasing the money. Chasing the money. Chasing the money. Chasing the money. Well, chasing the money caused me to miss out on so many things. And I'll tell y'all, chasing the money messed up a couple of my relationships. One big one that I probably wouldn't even be here in California no more for the first one, because picture this, Sicily. Y'all, Sicily. But no, picture this. You have somebody who really is in love with you, who's in your corner. They're older at that time, financially secure. And I'm not saying, I ain't saying no 50, 60 years older. At that time, maybe he might have been 10 years older than me. So somewhere around there. But not no drastic thing where it's like some old ass man. So get y'all minds out the gutter. But he had a house and came along at a time when, of course, you know, I was on my A game. I didn't need anything from anybody. At that time, my father was in my life. He was actively being a part of my life. So I was blessed to have him in my life so that that support system that I needed then, he was there. And I met this guy and we started dating. Well, one night he had planned this elaborate date. And y'all, that elaborate date really was like to say, hey, I really want to settle down with you. I want to be with you. This is the final straw. I want to make this me, you, and that's it. So car service was coming, boat trip, everything. I missed my one moment in time, y'all. I missed my one moment in time because I was on a field trip and our yard called and said, hey, we got another route open at your old yard. And at this time, I had left from doing city bus and I was at the school bus yard doing field trips. But this is the craziest stuff, y'all. My company at that time was Mayflower. Well, Mayflower Contract Services got bought by Laidlaw. Laidlaw is where I started at. That's where I first started doing city bus. Well, that yard became a part. We were all Laidlaw again. And they were in the process of losing. No, we're not losing. The contract was ending. And the drivers were jumping ship left and right. And so they knew that I was working for another yard. At that time, I could do cross. So they called and asked if I would come. And they were like, well, we'll call them on the radio. So it's crazy, y'all. I took the school bus off straight off the field trip, drove to the other yard, parked the school bus on the yard with the city buses, got out of the school bus, got in the city bus, and started driving the city bus route and started making my money. Continuing to make my money. So I missed the date. And boy, the outcome of missing that was really something. It was one of them pivotal moments in life. And now he is married. They've been together for several years. They don't live here anymore. And every time you see them, they're so happy. So I can't fault him. But me chasing the paper missed my moment in time, because the life that they're living, it could be me. So the shoulda, couldas, and the wouldas also add to depression, because you start to say, why me? Why me? Second time came around and I was dating somebody else. This time I didn't let the job get in the way. I decided that I was going to do whatever I could to make that relationship work. But while I was doing what I needed to do, they weren't doing what they needed to do. And this is one of the most hardest things that I tell folks that has ever happened to me. They broke up with me on my birthday. I was out and had not heard from him all day on my birthday. And we talked every day, all day, all day, all day, all day, every 5 minutes. If we wasn't talking, we were texting. I knew where he was. He knew where I was. And I was in the process of getting ready to move to go be with him. And here comes my birthday. I'm calling you, not answering. I'm like, well, dang, why I gotta call you on my birthday when you're out of state? You get up before I do because it's earlier there. And no response. And so I was sitting in Fenton's, which is here in the Bay Area, ice cream place. I went out with a friend and I was so depressed. I was so sad because I hadn't heard from him. And this was the person that I was in love with. And nothing. In the middle of sitting there, he texts. And not only are you breaking up with me, but you break up via text message. Baby, you can see where I started to spiral? Can you see where it was like a Mack truck had hit me? A train had ran over me? The Mack truck backed back up over me? And then, 2 months later, you get into a serious relationship. Now, these are not, I'm not even talking about short-term stuff with being with somebody. We have been over a year. And this is how you do me? Baby, that's why depression runs amok. Because there's so many things. Now, y'all know my relationship with my mother. Y'all know I've lost several people, several good friends. My godfather, who I can always just pick up the phone and call, gone. And so then in the midst of depression, you start having grief. And you don't know which way to go. You don't know if you're depressed. You don't know if you're sad. And that's why I tell people, for 10 years, I had clinical depression. And I had prayed. I was sitting in Bishop Johnny Withers Church in Los Angeles, California. And I said, God, take this away from me. Take it away. I don't want it anymore. And that Sunday, I got up and I said I wasn't going to be depressed anymore. I was leaving it right there in the church, leaving it on the altar. And I want y'all to know, years went by and I wasn't depressed. I wasn't having any issues. I was okay. And then 2013 came. March 16th, 2013. My little brother walked away from this earth. And I want y'all to know, he took me. He took a piece of him when he left. And from 2013 into 2014, I had nothing but back-to-back deaths. Back-to-back deaths. And I couldn't pull myself out. And 2014, grieving was so bad. It was so bad. So by 2015, I was like, okay, I'm finally seeing the light of day. I'm finally getting up. And then we get COVID. 2018. February. Almost a month exactly before my brother died. The anniversary. And I spiraled right on back in. And fear of catching COVID kept me in the house, kept me in the bed, kept me staying away from everybody. And just the constant, always waiting for the next thing to drop. Waiting for the tree to fall on my head. Waiting for the next thing. And here we are again. I'm just there. So when you see people who say they have depression, don't be mad. And don't be telling them, oh, you can just get out. Because it's really not easy. I was suicidal many years ago. Many years ago. I won't say that I haven't thought about it recently. Because sometimes you just think that if I take my life, all of this will be over. But I've learned there's so many people's lives that are attached to me. And I inspire, I lift up, and I encourage others. So that work is not done for me yet. So I tell people all the time, even when my life is in hell, I still try to inspire other people. I'm happy for other people. Yeah, I mean, we can't say that we don't get jealous when I look at people buying houses, when I look at people getting new cars. Hell, but always there's that little piece, but you don't let that little piece keep you down. Mental health issues are real, people. You never know what somebody is going through behind closed doors. Don't downplay. Don't sweep it aside and try to tell people, brush it off, pick up yourself and keep going, because you don't understand their story. You're not walking in their shoes. And just because you're happy doesn't mean that that person is happy. Just because your life is going well doesn't mean that person's life is going well. And I'm telling you, we see people with money who battle depression. The biggest person that I can always think of in the name for y'all to be, Phyllis Hyman. Y'all know Phyllis Hyman is my ultimate favorite singer and always in my rotation, always in my playlist. What happened? She took her own life because of depression. Just didn't feel loved. Just didn't feel that she had enough people in her corner. So support your folks. Support your friends. Support your family that you know have some type of mental anything. Don't not be in their corner. Be their support system, even when you don't want to be. And sometimes, all you gotta do is send a text message. Hey, I was thinking about you. Hope you having a great day. Or you can call. Hey, boo. How you doing? What's going on in your world? Know that I love you. It ain't got to be no 4 hour. Because that little 5 seconds can encourage them for the whole day. But I'm telling y'all, if I was rich and where I am with the depression, I would never get out the bed. I would never get out the bed. That's just my truth. I know where I am right now. I know where I am. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to lay down. I'm going to keep fighting. With everything I have in me, I'm going to keep fighting. But my truth is, if I was rich, I wouldn't even come out the house. I'd be in my bed. I probably would be one of those who turned into the ordering the food and having it delivered like that, where I didn't have to go outside, because they brought a service that does everything now. But I'm telling y'all, I'm not gonna stop fighting. Emotionally, I'm spent. Emotionally, I'm hurt. I'm at a crossroads, y'all. But I'm going to fight. And I want somebody else to fight too. I want you to fight too. I want you to not give up. Even though it seems like that's the best option. Don't give up. Hold on. Peace is coming. It's not always going to be like this. I promise you it's not always going to be like this. There is a brighter day. At the end of this storm, there is going to be a rainbow. But God never promised us that life was going to be completely easy. Sorrow, hurt, and depression was going to be a part of it. He never promised us that life was just going to be peaches and cream. So pick yourself up. Hug yourself. Love yourself. Cry when you have to. It's nothing wrong with shedding some tears. And man, that goes for you. Sometimes you just got to shed tears to shed some of the hurt. And for me, sometimes I have to just speak it out. I have to say it so that I can understand what piece of hurt or where the depression has me at today. And I'm going to say this. Something's wrong with my car. It starts shaking. In the middle of a just paid every bill. So no money to get no car fixed. Nothing. I'm booked, have wine tours coming up, so I can't afford for my car to go down. So I'm not giving up, y'all. I'm not giving up. I miss my brother. And it's supposed to be as the years grow further, you're supposed to get better. It's not true. It's not true, people. I promise you it's not true. Almost feel like I say, I feel like we should have been twins. Because we were so much alike. And we thought each other's thoughts, finished each other's statements, sentences, and everything. So he took a piece of me with him. And I've been spiraling ever since. But I want to encourage you, get up, hold on, keep a towel with you, cry when you have to, but pick yourself up and move on. It's going to get better. Whew. That's all I have for now. Stay encouraged. Stay encouraged. Encourage somebody else along the way so that your living won't be in vain. When you get through with this listening today, call somebody. Brighten their day. Take them to lunch. Take them to dinner. Anything. Just to get them out of their space. Have a glass of wine with them. Y'all know wine makes me feel so much better because it just takes me into a different space. Watch a movie. Binge watch a TV show. Just do something so that person knows that they're loved. Because there's so many people sitting at home right now who are on the verge of completely giving up. Kudos to Pose for an amazing show. Season 3 wrapped up. If you have not watched Pose, get yourself over there to Netflix, Hulu, or however y'all watch the stuff, and watch Pose. It will encourage you. It will lift you up. The characters fought for everything that they had. They fought for their place to be here. They fought to be who they are. They fought to live their lives. So, you do the same. Remember, share the podcast. Don't keep it to yourself. Next time, I promise you we won't be so doom and gloom. But we have to talk about mental health. It's not always going to be a perfect situation, but we have to talk about it because somebody needs to hear that I'm going through just like they are. And if I can go through and make it, you can go through and make it. It's your boy, Christopher Terrence Jones. I am out of here. I love you guys. Once again, thank you to my season followers and to my new subscribers. You guys are amazing and truly unique. Have a great day.